Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam. All right, in the first half, we do a poll on dishwashing machines, a staff poll. I'll play a clip of me doing my morning show with Jill Zarin and some more game show clips. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, the only person on the planet with a Watch More Love Boat New Year's resolution, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice to get on. A mandate to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian, thank you for being the shit. All right. Well, lots to get to today. We have, as promised, the Hot Cup of Jill with Ace Over Easy.
So happy.
Morning show. Jill is Zarin. One of the most popular Real Housewives of New York City, I guess. I think that's her batch. She probably starts. She's a fun character to watch. Mm-hmm. There's entertainment to find there. My new jam is all the real estate shows where the hot people are arguing.
The Selling Sunsets and all those.
Yeah, just good-looking people mm-hmm. stabbing each other in the back and $26 million homes in the Palisades.
I figured that'd be a thing.
You know what you are? You're the microcosm of the Prius and the Octagon. You're a one-man walking version.
Yes, they call that a Renaissance man.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that's what that meant.
I love, I do, well, in defense of me, I just, you know, there are all those real estate shows that are like houses under $20 and miniature houses and stuff. And that's like
no interest.
That's like fat people doing porn. Mm. Like, I want to see the $35 million place in Malibu that I cannot afford. I'd like a tour of that house. Right. That's why we have. There's no art museum that says finger painting from your kids, you know.
That's what the fridge is for.
Or do an exhibit on shit that was taken off of refrigerators. No, you want to see the you want to see the good stuff.
You're right.
And they always do this thing where it's like, well, that's not accessible to our audience. Well, I watched a Love Boat when I was 11. It's not accessible.
Yeah, it's aspirational.
I want to see us. I'll watch Good Times.
Right.
Fine.
Agreed. There was a show that ran on Food Network for years called, I think it was called Unwrapped with Mark Summers, the game show host, the you know, the Double Dare or whatever it was, and it was Mark Summer, he never actually went there, he voiced it over, but like they went to like factories and like showed how like Hershey's Kisses were made.
Yes.
And like how potato chips were made. Yeah. And it's like, this is not what Food Network is for. Yes, it's food, but like I want to see like the world class or the deep sea fisherman or the world class restaurant or
aspirational.
Yeah, just the crazy stuff.
How candy is made is very Mr. Rogers.
I don't give a shit about the factory. Yes. This is anti Food Network.
Yes, I don't want to go to a car show with Camrys. I want to go there with Lamborghinis and Duesenbergs, and I can't afford those, but I want to look at them.
But you want to see the owners of those throw drinks in each other's faces and call each other a bitch.
That's right.
I see.
And have unusually long hair.
Mm-hmm.
The women, once that hair gets Rita Coolidge length, it start to fall into place. If your hair can make it onto your plate, it's too long.
I'm with you.
It's too long. A few of those bitches got extensions. Yeah. It's down past the waist.
Yeah.
They love throwing it around.
Yeah, to make a point.
It's essentially, you know, the guy in his cape.
Yes.
Good day. You know what I mean? Yeah. They do a good day move with their hair,
yes.
You know?
I actually fit into that category unironically in middle school when my hair would fall out onto my plate, but it wouldn't actually reach my plate. It would be falling.
It would technically touch your plate.
You should, Jim. That tumor may go back further than you realize.
Oh, no, they think so.
So, yes, a lot of crazy hair flipping, a lot of turning. And also, it punctuates you turning your back on someone and storming out because the hair is still swinging while you're walking toward the Uber.
Yes.
Anyway, so we have Jill Zarin, and this is a flashback. I don't know what that was from 2011 where she came in here. And I have little to no recollection of it other than she was horrible, but she was pitching doing a morning show with me.
Great.
And what kind of show would you and I do? And what did you pitch to me?
Well, by the way, you think you're the funny one. I thought I was the funny one and you were the straight one.
That was not your pitch, Jill.
I swear I'm the funny one.
What was your
pitch? Ask anybody.
You told me to ask your husband if you were funny.
I'm really funny, I swear to God. I think we would have a great, advice talk show.
Uh-huh.
But you handle the men and I handle the women.
So,
I can handle the men too, and you can handle love problems for girls who can't find a guy. I can handle why the guy's a loser and can't get the girl.
You see the sign of like a syndicated daytime thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hit!
I agree.
Mm-hmm. You agree?
You and I had great chemistry.
Yes, we did.
Don't worry, Lynette.
We were drunk.
A little drunk.
To be
you
fair.
You were drunk. I don't drink.
That was
you
Andy don't drink. Cohen show.
I was drunk.
You were drunk.
They keep filling. I was drinking Mangria. And they keep.
We had a good time that night.
Yeah, had a good time.
That was a great episode, right? Look, and I was wearing a great dress.
Andy Cohen almost wore socks. It was that good an episode. And he told me he'd get shit-faced at those things. Like, he had to tell him to mellow out with the booze.
Because really?
They just keep filling your cup up.
Yeah, he likes it.
Hold on.
Pause
it for a second. We're the only time I've really seen August lit up. And Chris was pretty lit up too, but I've not, you know, August has a drink or two, but
right.
I haven't seen him lit up. Was when we did, what was that chef show in Vegas?
Oh, Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen. Because they just kept pouring. They walk around. You're talking to someone and you look and your glass is full again. But you don't think my glass is full again. You just go, I guess I haven't drank in my mind. And you just keep drinking. And when we try to get up, there was an issue. There's an issue for Mike and an issue for Chris, I think, as well.
It's for the cameras. They don't want any drinks half drink.
So when you do Cohen show, they top it off. They just keep, and by the way, it's that way for Match Game with Baldwin as well. They just come out every commercial break. They top it off. You have no idea how much you're drinking,
TV.
And it hits you.
And that was Mangria.
Yes. Oh, yeah. All right. Sorry. Me and Jill.
He got a show. Congratulations to Andy Cohen. Five nights a week.
Oh, the gays must be riding in the streets.
They're riding. He's a riot. He is. I love
turning
the format.
Over Miatas.
He's got really funny skits. I love his skits.
Should we do skits?
Definitely. Not
funny. No, but definitely skits. You got to do skits.
Would you also do bits?
Bits or skits?
What's a bit?
Yeah.
You got to do skits.
Skits?
Yeah.
All right, Allison, you got a little more news to do, by the way. And Jill, you hang in and jump in. And again, if we're going to do this show together, I need to feel you rolling with these news stories because we're doing the show every day.
Okay.
And I don't
do it every day.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Jill and Ace in the Morn or something. You know, we'll work on the title. You know,
oh, you could go first.
Hot Cup of Jill with Ace Over Easy. And it's going to be syndicated. So it'd be on from 9 a.m. till, you know, noon all around the country. Hot Cup of Jill with Ace in the Morn.
Have you spoken to your agent yet?
Yes.
Liar.
Well,
he's lying.
No.
He's lying with his eyes.
Not about this.
You talk to him all the time.
Yeah, I spoke to him. We talked about Jon Stewart. Maybe. No.
Who is your agent?
James Baby Doll Dixon. Hot Cup of Jill with Ace Over Easy in the morning. And then we just come out every morning and we're peppy, man. You know, and I'm dressed. I'm having Bobby dress me.
Oh, Bobby's good.
He's dressing me. And we're sitting on stools. But it's casual.
I'll get you some free clothes.
Yeah, I want some free. And we're sitting on our stools.
Did anyone laugh at that? That is so funny that I just said that.
I laughed.
I laughed inside. And that's going to be your thing. Did anyone laugh at that?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And then we're going to have... yeah, that's gonna, this is going to be our song, by the way. And we're going to come down, and we're going to have our super gay producer, Derek. And he's never going to think anything's fine. We're just going to see him shaking his head all the time. And he's, he always wears a
different... long-suffering Derek.
He wears a different color sweater.
He's your producer.
Every day. Derek, No, no.
You haven't hired him yet.
Oh, we haven't hired
him. In Hot Cup of Jill and Ace of
Rose. Do we know who he is, or we're making his name? Well,
pause it. All right. I think it was pretty clear that we'd establish a sort of hypothetical. We'll do this. We'll do that. We'll put the stools
in this
out.
Fantasy land.
We'll come out in the morning. We'll get this thing syndicated. Right. And then at some point, I go, and we have a producer named Derek. And he's like, where is he?
Is he here?
Is he real?
Can I meet him?
But it's like saying... we're going to throw a picnic.
Oh.
Yeah.
And we're going to have turkey.
Oh. Yep.
And we're going to have
macaroni salad.
Yeah. And we're going to have macaroni salad.
Coleslaw.
And we're going to have ambrosia salad. And then she'd go, where's the ambrosia salad?
I don't see it on
Can
the
I
table.
Have that? Is it here?
Yeah.
It's a weird toggling. All right. We'll keep playing it. Sorry.
It's a different color sweater.
It's your producer.
Every day. Derek.
Yeah.
No, no. In,
you haven't hired him yet.
Oh, we haven't hired
him. In Hot Cup of Jill and Ace of
Rosie. Do we know who he is, or we're making his name up?
Well, we're going to cast him. He's not really going to produce the show.
His real name is Gregory.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we sit on stools. Lucite.
But it has to be, have a back.
Yeah, have a back, for sure, but it'll be Lucite. And then
a cushion. And you have Hot Cup of Joe with Ace on the Side mugs you drink out of.
Right. And we do a bit called Where the Heck is Bobby? And we send him all around the world.
You know? Bobby's sleeping.
And that's the joke. That's the joke. Every time we find out he's just asleep.
Quick turn.
Turns out he's at home asleep.
He's not listening, is he?
We get a sponsor.
So trouble.
Top 10 tech innovations or
like
techie things. We'll have a tech segment. Mr. Gadget will come in and do...
I'm a gadget freak. You love my gadgets.
This is perfect.
What are your top 10 gadgets? Can we get a preview?
The iPad keyboard.
You know what? Let's walk over to the Lucite demonstration table. There's going to be a lot of Lucite on here. We're going to walk over to that. Mr. Gadget will come out. He'll do a bit with us. Then he's going to tell the entire audience, everyone is getting an iPad. By the way, they go berserk. Look at the keyboard. They all go nuts.
They'll go nuts.
All right, when we come back, where's Bobby? Newt Gingrich is going to be out here to play celebrity round of politician round of Where's Bobby? And also, we're going to be doing What Can't Jill Complain About on Hot Cup of Jill with Ace Over Easy. Coming back at 2 and 2. Love
you. You are so good.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
So good.
Yeah, that's why we do our thing.
What else is on your gadget
list?
We got
to get this going.
She loves gadgets. I got the new iPhone 4, and I like talking to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing my voice completely.
Yeah. That's good. We're going to bring it home anyway.
Going down.
We got to pitch this thing around town. I need you to have a fresh voice for that. We got to get pitching.
You want me to come back this week?
No, tonight.
Tonight?
We're going tonight.
No time to waste.
Yeah, going out.
No, but I could come back. Mm-hmm. I think we could really do something.
I think we could do it.
Oh, boy.
I like that the only time she yes ands is when she actually thinks you're going to pitch this.
Well, there's many things to admire about the woman. I love the... I love the out loud thinkers. I love the people who, Dr. Drew does this a little bit. They're doing like a podcast or a radio show, and like somebody walks by the window and they go, hey dude, like in the middle
that?
Of you talking about in the Philippines, a ferry overturned. That's that guy.
Oh, Garagos is here.
They're the out loud thinkers.
Yeah.
They see things and they just react out loud to them all the time. I like that.
Or like thanking people for bringing them the coffee in the middle of the show.
I like when you go, we'll have the gadget guy say, I like gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the ice cream guy. I like ice cream. We'll
have masseuse come out. I like massages.
We'll have the weather guy go, I like weather.
Sunny.
Like, it's a weird random association thing where you just say something and then just say something out loud.
Well, it's either that or it's they're on, and that's their way of thinking they're participating.
But here's the interesting part of life that no one really tells you about. We just heard this woman's thought process, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds borderline insane to us.
Childlike.
Zigzaggy.
Childlike. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
This woman is very successful.
Yeah.
Now, we all know people, and I have family members, that track much more clearly than Jill Zarin. Almost everyone who's ever been born.
Tessa, I would argue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sonny, Natalia, sure. Tessa, mm-hmm. anybody who has kids over the age of zygote, they track better than Jill Zarin. Everyone I know does. She is more successful than almost everyone I know.
All of them put together.
Combined. Yeah. So why is it my dad is a good tracker, but he cannot figure out a way to get any rubber to the road?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Why? And we do a lot of talk about intellect. You know, this guy's so bright. A good student. You know what I mean? Sharp. Yeah. This guy's this girl, sharp, fast on her feet, whatever. Jill Zarin is none of those, but wildly successful, at least as she as portrayed in the Real Housewives of New York.
Her husband's successful. I mean, like, that's the gist of those shows, right? Is it rich husband, housewife who, you know, spends the money? However, you're right. We know her name. She's
runs
famous.
The business. Oh, I'm basing this on the show, but she runs the business with him.
Uh-huh.
That's how it's portrayed on
so
the show.
So my point is, do you think, I mean, I know that she exists in a time that values where her scatterbrained out of itness is a value, you know what I mean, on TV. Like, that would not work in 1970. That would not work in almost any other era. But in 2022 or 2011, whatever that was, that is that's a commodity that makes her a good TV star on that show.
I don't know if their business is going well, Chris, or what it is, but...
And is she named as a running of the business for tax purposes?
I don't like your tone. from the episodes I watched, she would be in there picking out fabrics and discussing. Now, I don't know what's staged and what whatever. I'm sure she's not driving a forklift or doing inventory, but she is involved with a successful business and she's there. What I'm saying is this. There's two qualities that she possesses that we don't really talk about that much. Like I said, we kind of talk about intellect and brain. You know, this gal's got great brains or great. He's a good student or he's fast.
Critical thinker.
This country's not really set up for that. It's more set up because we all know very smart people that are not very successful. She has two things. One is I am going to do, I literally have a note on my cork board at home because I want to do a documentary about the number one most important quality of all the successful people I know that we never discuss because it's hard to quantify. It's never discussed at school. Personal momentum. Mm. She has personal. She thinks, she actually thinks we're doing a morning show together. She thinks she's successful. She doesn't understand why she shouldn't be a TV star, why she shouldn't have a camera following her. And it fucking works.
Yeah.
It works a lot.
Hell yes.
It works a lot. All DJ Khaled is personal momentum. That's all. He literally is the poster child. He embodies that. We the best, we the best, we the best. First off, it's not we, it's them. You don't do anything. And people go, I like that guy. I like that guy. You like that guy because he's talking about the best and this is the best and he's pointing things. She has two things. A, and DJ Khaled has this as well, has a personal momentum mixed with work. Like, they don't mind working. You have to want to work. The personal momentum minus the work is that's nothing.
Doesn't mean anything.
That's you got a can opener and no beans.
What was the show you did with Trump when he said this will be the greatest, highest rated show we've ever done? It's the same thing.
That was the marriage
wrap.
Right.
I told everyone. They're like, oh, why was Trump elected? I haven't told this in a story in a while. Like, why was Trump? Oh, because of this or racism or border, whatever. It's personal momentum. Yes, we sat backstage at the marriage wrap. Me, him, and Gloria Stefan from Miami Sound Machine. I was like, oh, I better bring the fucking funny today because I was supposed to be in charge of the funny, you know. And Gloria, not a laugh riot.
Aww, I don't know if you know that about her.
A sweet, sincere woman. Now, actually, it's interesting because she is a portrait of sort of quiet sincerity.
Sure.
And Trump was just back there going, this is going to be number one. Number one ratings. You check. You watch, check those you ratings watch. Tomorrow. You check those ratings. Put slapping me on the back. Did it before the show, after show. Check the overnights. Right. Check them tomorrow. You'll see this number one. This will be their number one highest rated episode they've ever had. And I was like kind of looking at Trump, who was Trump back then.
It was just Trump back then.
Just Trump back then, and Gloria and me, and I was kind of like, sure, they've had a stronger roster.
Seinfeld was on here at some point.
Yeah, Seinfeld popped in on an episode, and he said, and about the third time he slapped me on the back and said, we're going to be number one, I actually felt good.
Okay, so I'm glad you mentioned that, because they're, at least with Trump, and certainly DJ Khaled, and to a lesser extent, Jill Zarin, but they all, along with personal momentum, an element of that is telling people what they want to hear and making them feel good about what you're doing. Like, we're going to do this. It's going to be great. We're the best. We're always going to do this. Or we're doing a morning show, and it's going, you know, or it's going to be all over the country. Whatever it is, it's, yes, we can do this. So get together, and it's going to happen.
It's a leadership quality.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're looking for a quality for your child to have, studious is fine, but that doesn't necessarily get you anywhere. The personal, that's how Jimmy Kimmel, Bill Simmons, these are all guys like, Ace, we should go do this. Like, let's go start a show. Let's. And I was guys sitting around going, who's going to let us do a show? Right. And it sounded like a rabbi, but there were the guys going, here we go. Right. Here we go. And I was going, why does anyone want to hear from us? You know, I mean, I understood we're funny, but I was like, this is never, come on. Who's going to let us do a show? And that was Jimmy. That's Bill Simmons. That's a lot of guys I know that are just, they're, what's the difference? Are they funnier than everyone? Are they smarter
than
everyone?
They
just go. They're not scared to work. Right. They have momentum.
And it makes me think of all those, you know, you've heard all those entrepreneur stories of these wildly successful people that are like, I would buy candy for 25 cents and sell it at school for a dollar.
Right.
You know, like you can identify this stuff early.
Yeah.
Garagos has that.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Yes. It's all, just about all successful people have that. Now, mind you, I guess you could have 185 IQ and be certified genius or something and have a little less of that, but you've invented something.
Yeah, but you could also be the Unabomber.
Something. Right. Jill's company, her company, Jill Zarin Home, has over 100 million in sales since its 2017 launch. I should have been kissing her ass. Like, I should have been going, fuck the morning show.
Yeah.
Let's do a textile.
Let's go to textiles, yes.
Her rugs made $10 million last year.
Fucking A.
There's something, whatever that,
pillows,
whatever you heard, whatever that kind of scattershot brain you just heard, somehow is good for $10 million in rugs last year.
You know who sounds like, because again, you guys are way more well-versed in The Real Housewives than I am. But we've had Bethany Frankel.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing,
but
right?
I think she's actually smarter than average.
She's very interesting.
Very sharp.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
If I may do Last Kiss Rodeo, you do have a little bit of that. You do have a little bit of the personal. No, sorry. The we the best, you know, jump on board. I remember when you're putting a podcast back together, or excuse me, the show back together in podcast form in 2010, and we spoke on the phone, and you were like, I believe in this. Let's, you know, we're not going to make any money at first, but this has potential. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. I mean, you know, you I don't know if you're overflowing with it, but you
well,
you do have some.
What happens is a couple things. You have to be a realistic assessor of your talent, your ability, and whatever. Like, I'm realistic. I'm like, I'm funny. I can speak. People want to listen. It's fine. I objectively understand that.
You sound like Stuart Smalley.
And gosh darn it, people love me. And then the other part is, once you hang around with people who do enough stuff and you've done enough stuff, then writing another book or starting another endeavor, whatever, it doesn't sound as far-fetched as it did when you were 19 and living in the garage. So you just sort of, it becomes infectious from a people around you standpoint, but an internal standpoint too. Once, you know, I'm sure Jimmy sits around and goes, you know, watches Saved by the Bell and goes, oh, why don't we do a live sitcom of that? And I'll get the A-listers. Yeah. I'll get Jennifer Aniston. She'll play that role, do that. And then these far-fetched, crazy ideas. Just go, why not?
Yeah.
Who's to say no?
Right.
Or that'll never work.
Well, and the, and again, to add to the Ask Kiss Rodeo, the fact that you have any personal momentum is an achievement.
That's true. True.
You shouldn't have
that. That is fun.
Yeah.
Well, what I had was I had ability, and I was realistic about the ability, and then I hitched my team to other people's wagons who had some of that momentum. Speaking of stuff we were talking about, the game show thing, Gio got on the game show thing quickly. We'll dedicate a show to it, but there was a win, lose, or draw I did.
With Burt Reynolds.
No, I did another one. I think I did another one with him. I've done so many game shows.
Celebrity Pictionary.
Gio is finding. Yeah, sorry, Pictionary. Celebrity Pictionary. Yeah, and it was with Alan Thicke.
Ooh.
Was hosting. And
and your team. So this is a celebrity edition. So the contestants were two anchors from just local news stations. And then your team, Adam, was you and Joan Van Ark. And then
temperatures rising, Joan Van Ark.
Okay, I used that? To sell. Oh, how dare you, Brian? She used to be one of my personal clients at Hugo Boss because you collect your personal clients.
Uh-huh.
And I would roll out the red carpet every time Joan Van Ark came in to buy sweaters for her husband.
Joan Van Ark was a actress.
Dynasty?
Yeah.
Falcon Crest?
I think she was one of them, but I think she was also. Oh, God, are we thinking of the other blonde that had the same haircut? She did a sitcom from the 70s, one of the ones where I think they came up with the title before the sitcom, which was called Knott's Landing in Dallas.
Knott's Landing.
Was she Temperatures Rising, too, which was a sitcom.
72 to 73.
From the 70s.
Oh, Temperature Rose.
And it was like a hospital sitcom.
Right.
And Joan Van Ark was in it. So I was reunited with Joan Van Ark.
So I would call her to be like, the chino pants came in, and her voicemail, which I assume is her husband, it was, you know, like an anonymous, you have reached, and then you'd hear a man go, Joan Van Ark. Oh. And that was her voicemail.
Is she still married to Marshall, the newscaster?
John Marshall, it says on Wikipedia. Yes.
Oh, so was he the one that on the other team?
No. Yeah, the other team was a newscaster, and then their team was Chris Hardwick and Mario Van Peebles.
Strong.
So my first one, and Brian, you have to watch this, was Below the Belt.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't Below the Belt. It was, you would say, it was like.
There's a linking word.
There's a linking word. So first it was Black Belt.
Okay. Oh,
and then,
I see.
And then the next one would be Below the Belt or something that would end in belt, right?
Yeah, so belt was part of it. So
right. In the annals of the Ace Man trying to adhere to something, see if they seem to understand that belt is the operative word that you'll see on the second one here. We'll play it for you. Audio's a little rough. I think someone took it off their TV set.
Adam, you're up next. Go Adam.
That's a VHS quality.
You know, this is a bad idea.
45 seconds.
Now, what? Can I pass on any of these?
No, you're on your own up here. You can tell us why. What qualifies you for love line advice?
Nothing really. I had sex with one of the producers.
That'll do it. Nothing on that. 45 seconds.
That's the card up. Blank belt.
Black.
It's black marker.
Black is right. Black music. Black line. Black road.
Black belt. Black belt is right.
All right, so now belt's the word.
Black music.
Black still.
Belt is the word.
Belt.
That's crotch.
Belt is the word.
Black belt. Black.
Trying an arrow below the belt.
Belt out. Black leather. Black leather. Black pinstripe. Black.
Stop saying
hips.
Hold on. Stop saying black.
Yeah, she kept yelling black belt over and over.
We're on belt. It's now belt. We started with black belt, and now the word has to end in belt.
Yeah.
As in below the belt. So I have a belt that's already on there, and it's below the belt.
Yelling the previous answer over and over probably doesn't help the cause.
Or just starting every guess with the word black.
And they know it's belt?
Yes.
This is insane. Okay, just making sure.
You gotta. We'll play it again.
You can hear Robin Thicke or Robin Thicke, Alan Thicke say belt is the word.
Okay.
Belt is the word, and I have a belt
and an arrow
down. So I'm trying to go below the belt. But they keep saying black.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Go Phoenix. Okay.
Black still.
Belt
black
is
pants?
The word.
Black
black. Oh,
that's
no,
crotch.
Belt is the word.
Third time.
Black belt. Black. Black.
You already got black. Still black.
You already got black.
Belt out. Belt
leather. Black leather. Black. Pinstripe. Black. Big hips.
Belt. Skilled hands. Concept here.
Black.
Back down.
All right. She said black 11 times now.
And the cut to the black guy.
Alan Thicke has said it's not black. It's belt.
Three times he established.
And also, it's bordering on racist now because I'm drawing a crotch with an arrow going down. Black cock, black hog, black hog, black log.
Right.
Black. Stop saying black.
Black thunder.
Bigger and blacker.
Okay. How does one navigate this world?
I don't know that one does. Did you ever come back?
I don't
think you did.
Were they audibly ashamed?
Who was the guy? Oh, the news anchor.
Yeah, right? That was the news anchor. Van Ark was on black something.
Yeah, sure was.
God rest his soul, Alan Thicke was saying, it's belt. Right. Not black.
It's
established.
Belt.
And the other guy was toggling in between something new. You got to play back all this. She's like, black shoes. Like,
black hips.
No, stop saying black. We're never going to arrive at this answer.
You got to circle the belt.
But it was, the other guy was sort of on to belt something, but it wasn't.
But she kept pulling him into her orbit.
But if they knew how to play, they would know in this round that this thing is now going
something
to end with the word belt.
Right.
So it's
going
to be blank belt, which will get you to black belt a lot or below the belt.
Right.
It'll get you there a lot faster. All right. Sorry. Just play it.
Black still.
Belt is the word.
Black leather. Black pinstripe. Black.
Black
hips.
Belt. Skilled hands. Concept here.
Black.
Down. Back down.
Black shoes. Black.
Oh my God.
Trousers. Black
belt
slacks.
Is the word.
Belt is the word.
Belt south. Bell south. No.
Bell
down.
Bell bottom.
You were saddled with two of the stupidest archetypes in our society, a news anchor and a soap opera star.
First off, Temperatures Rising is a sitcom. It's
okay.
A well-received. No, I have no. They couldn't play.
Mm-mm.
I don't know what to do.
No.
I just kept pointing an arrow. God, this may have, look, I hate to say it, but this may have killed Alan Thicke. I mean,
didn't help.
This kind of mental wear and tear and stress when he, about the sixth time, I'm surprised he didn't belt her. About the sixth time you say the word is belt, black
shoes,
black
hips,
black plague,
shoes,
black hips.
She did say,
I
hips?
Know, but I'm saying as though that
it's
is
insane.
A thing. As though it's a thing.
I've totally forgotten about all that, but
we are going to have to make the game show episode a drinking show.
Yes.
Because this is tough to watch on its own.
It's just, you can imagine what my process, and also you get caught up in it too. And you're like, they keep yelling black something. I keep pointing at a belt.
Are you allowed to say it's belt, bitch?
No.
Alan tried.
With my medium to low self-esteem, I start thinking, am I fucking,
maybe I got it wrong.
Fucking this thing up somehow?
Yep.
All right. So that was Pictionary, 1997.
Oh, the height of its powers.
I got piano key quickly.
Good for
is
you.
Is that the next clip?
It's kind of cool. Yeah, it's visual, but you can watch it on YouTube. It's a horrible. She has a horrible job, at least everyone else thought.
Joan Van Ark.
Let's see.
Let's not burn
it.
These.
Joan Van Ark.
Key is the linking word.
Key is the word. Okay, key.
She draws a...
Is this supposed to be a...
Mushroom?
A dog? Well,
that's supposed to be a standard.
It's supposed to be, like a baby grand.
Key cow.
Key top.
Oh, piano keys.
Piano
that's
key.
It, piano key.
Good for you.
And even Alan was like, what was that?
That was pretty rough.
It looks like a baby elephant.
The only good part about this whole thing is I feel like, there were a handful of guards at Auschwitz that probably turned a few Jews and went like, I don't know what I'm doing here either.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Like, I want this whole thing down.
I'm sorry. Like, I feel like Regis did that with me the other.
I'm a goddamn cheesemonger.
Alan
Thicke
was like looking at me going, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It it's a fair comparison. Yeah.
I think it's that.
Yeah. Apples to apples.
All right. Let's see. Let me hit Simply Safe. That's right. Want to make your home feel safer? No better time than now. Simply Safe is giving my listeners access to their New Year's deal. That's right. It's the New Year. 20% off plus your first month free when you sign up for an interactive monitoring service. This is a great company. The product is strong. Peel and stick up in about half an hour. You can set it up. Nobody rummaging through your home, pulling wires, making a mess. Everything to make your home safe. Indoors and outdoor cameras, comprehensive sensors, all monitored by around-the-clock trained professionals. Named Best Home Security System of 2021 by U.S. News and World Report. And you can start feeling safe. Give yourself some peace of mind in the new year. Take 20% off and get your first month free when you sign up for interactive monitoring. No long-term contracts or commitments. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam today. Two eyes in there. simplysafe.com/Adam today. All right. Take a break. We have a staff poll. And Brian's holiday recap.
And resolutions.
And resolutions all coming up. Right up.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, did you know that in 1997, your grandpa's masterpiece, The Mole People, premiered on Mystery Science Theater 3000? The old man got a shout out at the 11-minute, 39-second mark. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Wow. I did not know that. That was in 97.
You didn't know it was on there at all? Because it's like an MST.
I was doing win, lose, or draw, oh, man. That was in 97.
Nice Mexican sauce.
The Mole People. Starring John
Mount Pinatubo erupted yesterday, spewing movie credits all over the Southern Hemisphere.
Hey, Ward. And Alfred the Butler.
Doesn't get any better than this, man.
With Rod Wedwing.
William Faulkner?
Well, F. Scott Fitzgerald. Oh. Laszlo Gorog. You guys were close.
Mm. Oh, they made fun of Grandpa.
A canal.
At least they got the name right.
That's right. Laszlo Gorog. Spelled same way, front and backward.
That's right. Palindrome.
That's right. All right. Staff poll.
I want to hear this.
also, Max Bat, a little legwork for you that I'll pay off later on. But in the first Super Bowl, maybe championship game, maybe it has to go back to champ. I'm trying to think, when did the NFL switch from two posts going into the ground, not moving it to the back of the end zone, but from two to one? I think at some point, like in the early Super Bowl days, they had the single post that may have been back like a yard and
still
bent forward.
Still in the end zone.
Like in the end zone, but leaning forward a little bit. I'm curious. We'll see if we can pay this off. I have thoughts. All right. So staff poll. I was talking to Dr. Drew earlier today, and we're talking about all the sort of COVID craziness. Someone had tweeted me a skateboard park that had been filled with sand.
Oh, boy.
Because that's the way.
So efficient.
11-year-olds doing, back kicks outdoor. Like 11-year-olds getting exercise outdoors on a skate
Canada.
At a skate park. And nothing more socially distanced than a skate park.
Right.
Everyone's aware. Everyone's there. But we decided to fill that up with sand. All right. That's a crazy gypsy lady thing. Okay. My contention with Drew is that we used to have half the country used to think like chicks and half thought like dudes, and then we pulled about 28% of dudes over to the chick camp. There's a handful of chicks who thinks like dudes too, but then there's a,
it's not a one-to-one.
We live in Los Angeles, California. We have Garcetti and we have Newsom. There's a strong chick think. guys. So it's not to do with your genitalia per se. It's a way of thought. So it's like, what got us into this? And my contention is tons of chicks and then a bunch of dudes thinking like chicks. And now we're in full fill in the skate park. And I said, we started talking about the dishwasher. And I said, Drew, what do you do? He said, well, when I'm alone, I just rinse the plate off, wipe it down, I put it in the rack, it dries. I just use the same plate the next day when I'm alone, because his wife would never
abide by that.
Never abide. And then I realized I've lived with a few women in my day and they never would abide by that. And my thing was efficiency. You're standing at the sink, you're running the hot water. Sometimes you got the sponge out, you've wiped it down, you're home. Stay with the plate another 4 seconds, put it in the rack. Well, you're loading. There could be nothing worse than for your lower back than loading and unloading a dishwasher. Also, uses a ton of water and power. That's a big draw. And we're there. We're at the sink. We're ostensibly done here. Just put it in the no. And if you get them together, they start talking about, you know, the smell that you can tell, like it smells musty. It smells whatever. I've had these conversations with women. It's got residue. I'm like,
it's got new sponge.
Just clean it off and then just dry it. And then we could use this. No. It's so gross. Like musty smell and everything. And it's going in the dishwasher. And as I always discuss with Drew, there is no opening for any other thoughts other than their own. They know what they know when it comes to the dishwasher. By the way, it goes ad hominem real fast. I'm gross. You're gross. They're gross. I'm not gross. This is gross. You're weird. I'm right. No ever like, all right, keep talking. Let me hear your pitch.
Great to disagree.
No, you're weird. You're gross. Shut up. Put the fucking bulldoze the fucking skate parks, fill them with sand, get off the fucking beach in the horse trail. I know what I'm talking about. And then you go, but what do we basing any of this on? It's like, because I know.
Right.
And you're gross. So, as I said to Drew, to me, I'm into efficiency. So I'm at the sink and I'm rinsing and I'm scraping and we're almost home. Why am I going to take this loaded up, run the cycle? Also, a lot of, is this dishwasher, are these clean or dirty? Well, if you can't tell, then you're making my argument.
That's right.
Because you've done such a good job cleaning them off before you loaded it. But I said, this is basically like you saying, I'm going to take my car out the driveway and get the hose and the suds. I'm going to spray it down, start wiping it down. But about halfway through, I'm going to take it to the car wash. And I'm like going, the hose is out. We're here. Just wash it off here. No, that's gross. That's weird. That's dangerous. Yeah, I can tell the car smells musty. I can smell the hood. So it's all mildewy.
Sure.
One more in the column of efficiency. If you stack that thing like vertically in the rack or maybe on a drying mat, no need to dry. Just let it drip.
That's what I do.
It's gross. It's musty.
Well, you've already washed it.
I can tell.
Drip drying.
I can tell. So. By the way, they can't tell. I'd like to do the vodka test with the vodka snobs and the dish test with the dishwasher snobs. But then I said, well, let's get a poll around here. Like who? I've never met a woman that wasn't married to that dishwasher. And all the guys I've ever known have been rinse it and whatever it. I said it back in the room, and Gary's like, I don't want to get into this. It's scary.
It's a live wire.
I tried. It's not going to work. But I'm curious, is it possible that somebody here lives with a woman who's less into the dishwasher than they are? And I said to Chris, it will be Brian.
It will be me. Yeah. There is a right way and a wrong way to load the dishwasher. Now, I'm with you. Whether if it's just me, if I'm home for the weekend, or if it's just me having a snack, yeah, just give it a rinse, give it a wipe, and put it right on the drying rack, and don't worry about it. But if it's the family or whatever, then, yeah, that shit goes in the dishwasher.
But is Christy less into it?
Yes.
Than you?
Yeah.
That is so weird because I said Brian is going to be the only person that does it.
Maybe I did. I lived 8 years with my roommate before I met Christy without a dishwasher. Every single thing by hand, no matter how gross or how dirty. So maybe it's the allure of the dishwasher coming into my life late, or maybe it's the fact that Christy doesn't care as much. So my natural state is to rise and fill that like Bondo.
Maybe it's that Christy has a little more dude in her.
That's possible.
And Brian
Jill.
Is that a little less?
Why are you whispering? That's 100% true.
Why on earth do you give your voice down?
Well, that's an interest. So it is. So women are in charge of the dishwasher, but occasionally there's a little, the universe gets a little imbalanced.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe that.
And we don't have a dishwasher either because we're in like a 100-year-old house, but they asked us if they wanted to install them. Both Andy and I said no. We're good how we
balanced.
Are. Yeah. We're
fair
balanced.
Balance. All right, what's our staff poll? What do we got here, Chris?
All right. So, yeah, everybody. So Kaylin and Amy. Kaylin was a rinse and rack guy, but then Amy's 100% dishwasher. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even have a dish rack. Let's see. Ryan and
dishwashing machine or something.
Yeah, Yeah, you're right. Ryan and his girlfriend Jessica. Ryan used to be a rinse and rack guy, but now they use the machine. They don't have a room for a rack where they live.
Rack's pretty weak.
The rack's weak?
No, I use the drying mat. You know, like that.
Oh, thing the drying mat.
With the netting.
We have both.
Have you seen those things?
Probably.
It looks like one of the things you stand on at the bathroom sink.
Oh,
like it's like cushioned. But
uh-huh.
Well, you can't. But like you said, you can't put your plates on that.
Yeah, you stack them up vertically against the wall.
That's insane. Rack's better.
I went out, got myself a nice rack.
Me too.
That has a little. Yeah, God sold you that nice rack when you're 15.
That's right.
It's got a little trough where the stuff drains into the sink.
Me too.
Nice.
It has a little aqueduct, and you just, I have the same thing.
Put it right by the sink. And just go
That's what I do.
All right, continue with the poll.
Emmy used to be a rinse and rack guy when he was in New York.
Well, no room for a dishwasher.
Now he and his wife, Paola, use the machine. Let's see.
But is it her influence? That's what I think.
Or is it Olga's influence?
I feel like, you know, women set the tone at the house by and large. Mm. And I've never met any woman that's not full dishwasher. When I built my first house or remodeled my first house, but it was a serious remodel. Like, I always remember Jimmy came by for lunch. And he walked in the middle of this like huge remod, and he went full Mike August on me. He just went, "Why don't you tear the whole thing down?" And I was like, "Because I'm remodeling." He's like, "That seems like more work than
so." He has a history of this.
So bad. Well, that's Jimmy.
Oh,
he went Mike August on me with the tear it down.
I see.
But they said, you know, you got to put a dishwasher in. I was like, I don't need a dishwasher. I don't want it. They're like, for resale. You have to have it for resale.
Somebody else is going to want one.
Right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Paola did convince Emmy to convert to the machine, but Olga does not use the machine. She prefers to do.
Interesting.
She's
rinse and rack.
Crazy pragmatic. Mm-hmm. She hangs out every chicken bone. She picks every morsel of fat and gristle and cartilage off and puts it in a separate little container. That's for
soup.
Phil's going to have
stock.
It. No, so
I mean from the bones.
Right, from the bones. Like Phil will get his medicine when we put it in. He'll get the stock. It's a kind of a pioneer spirit or something or waste not, want not.
Yeah.
But it totally makes sense to me. And a no qualms about getting your hands dirty approach to life. All right. Do we
Dawson
have more?
Uses the machine. He lets them pile up so much that when he does them, he just gots to do two loads.
He gots to do two loads.
That's what it says.
Gots to.
Let's see.
He gots.
I got to know.
Yeah, that's from Magnum Force. Yeah, Dirty Harry.
Maybe ask yourself, punk. In all the confusion, did I fire five shots or six shots? Well, considering this is a .357 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, you got to ask yourself, do you feel lucky, punk? Well, do you? And he gave himself up. That's when they're walking the black guy, we got to find that whole scene just to show you how Hollywood has taken a little bit of a turn.
Right. Sure.
It's like playing blackjack. Show me the next card. I got to see it. Or poker or whatever it is. You
right.
See the next card.
But he got to know.
To know.
So I'm sorry.
Matt and Julie.
Dawson uses the dishwasher. I would not.
I put uses in air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like doing dishes. Mm-hmm. So they just pile up in the sink. And then it's just more efficient by the time I actually get around to the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Just put them all in a machine. Mm. But usually it's really overstacked or I got to do a couple.
Feels, I think of you as the prefab burrito man,
mm-hmm.
the guy who make up 6-8 burritos at once and keep them stocked away. I feel like you're the guy who cleans the dish as you use the dish.
Yeah, I'm not. I really got to reinvest in paper plates. That's the way to
Chinette.
Go.
Chinette.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like, see, the thing about the sink is it will get grody if not tended to.
Absolutely.
And if you just do it a dish at a time and hit the rack with it, you'll never get to the grody part of life.
It's funny you should say that because especially with a kid in the house, like I do dishes and Andy and I both do dishes and I find it therapeutic. I like to stand at the window, do the dishes, listen to a podcast, listen to music. And with the back, I'm the same way. I don't want to deal with a dishwasher. But every time I do the dishes, we announce it to each other so we kind of get extra credit. Like, oh, dishes are done. I always say, dishes are done and sink is sanitized because you got to hit it with the Clorox and rub it out every time.
All right. Sorry. Rest of the poll. Did we get to everyone?
So Matt and Julie, they occasionally use the dishwashing machine, but rinse and rack for the most part.
Oh, interesting.
No kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gary, when he was single, he had the rack, but his wife convinced him to move to the machine. Same with me. This is my first dishwasher that I've ever had that works.
So. It's alluring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
the siren song.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm in the honeymoon phase right now with my dishwashing machine. And then that's everybody.
I'll let Phil clean the plate.
That's the best.
That's a bridge too far.
Phil cleans it.
I would not want my dog licking my plate.
You gotta do it afterwards.
I would have to throw the plate away.
It gets all the gunk off.
I don't care.
Every morsel, everything bigger than 1 micron is gone off that plate. Like if you looked at that plate and looked at one that came from the dishwasher, you physically, visibly couldn't see the difference. Then I take that plate in and I rinse it.
Oh my God! That's when I would have to do like 3 cycles on the dishwasher. I had a dog. I would never fucking let that dog eat off my plate.
Every day.
You guys are fucking
I'm in between
gross.
You guys because that's the most efficient is like have the dog finish the scraps.
But it's not efficient because now you have dog germs all over your plate.
Yeah, then that's why I'm closer to you. You got to do a little wash after that.
A little wash? You got to burn the plate.
I do not get the soap out. I give it a hot rinse.
That's not the brag you think it is.
No.
You know you're part dog now.
I'm too lazy to get the soap out. And it's always over soap to me. I can taste the soap. I just go the hot water.
Concentrated.
Mm-hmm. So
yes.
Sorry, I'm getting thick throat. Just so we're clear, you eat something that's like liquidy in some way.
Lasagna.
You put it on the floor.
We'll make it lasagna.
Let's make it lasagna. Let's do the lasagna test on this. Mm-hmm. You put the not eaten lasagna on the floor, Phil eats the big bits and then licks the platter clean.
It is visibly looks no different than any other plate that's in the cupboard.
Got it.
He's done with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you pick up the plate with your bare hand. Rinse it in, I don't know, tepid water. Do a little shake and put it back on the
warmish.
Warmish.
And I might wipe it down with a paper towel or something because I'm using it again.
And
that's
reuse
why
paper towel, though.
Oh, I always reuse the paper towels.
I'm bringing my own Tupperware to your house if I ever come
home. I heard it. Is that all? Did we get our staff
that's everyone,
in?
That's everyone, yeah.
I was listening to an interesting an author who wrote a book on polio. And author was very interesting to get into polio and how it worked. A few things. Said that some people lived, and you'd have to be in an iron lung.
Yes, absolutely.
And that people lived 30 to 40 years
absolutely.
In an iron lung.
That's right.
It was rare, but you could live 30 or 40 years in an iron lung, which is insane.
I've always heard iron lung is like a punchline, but
you literally just like your head hangs out of a giant cigar tube.
Wow.
And you stare at a mirror.
Oh, my God.
And there's no modernization version of it because polio's gone, essentially.
Right.
So they didn't build one. They're having trouble finding parts for the old ones.
Oh, my God.
And that polio, and I'll paraphrase a little bit, was essentially our disease in the United States. It didn't affect the other parts of the world.
We didn't have travel
Africa
like we do now.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, so there's a polio theory, which will get me to fill in my dish. Which is,
I can't wait.
It also affected more predominantly affluent people. Now, you may know where this is going. The kids who grew up on the wrong side of tracks and the filth and the dirt
they
and
were
everything,
exposed.
They had a much more robust immune system because they grew up around it. The rich kids grew up in a much more sanitized environment, especially back then. I mean, people were living in slums, you know. And so the kids, it's in theory, and it's also theory about why, like, Africa didn't get hit with polio, like we got hit with polio, that the places that
developing nations,
the places that had the Purell and the Lysol and the wiping, they didn't have Purell back then, but all the sanitization, the wiping stuff down and the clean, tidy, orderly, whatever, those kids had weaker immune systems, and thus polio affected them in much greater numbers. And that's why I let Phil eat off my plate.
You'll never get polio.
Interesting, right? I think some of that, but I've always been talking about that as it pertains to peanut allergies and everything else. Yes.
Think how the scale slid from then till now. The kids back then who were the most susceptible, like the cleanest, probably would be today amongst the healthiest, because they would be, by today's standards, you know what I mean, playing in the dirt and whatever outside, unsanitary conditions, no Purell, et cetera, et cetera. And the kids who are the Lord Fauntleroys of the world are so far off the scale of what would have been back then.
Yeah. So it was interesting, and I've said it. I was like, no one I went to junior high with had a peanut allergy. Why does every third kid have a peanut allergy? We've told all the dad and stuff like that. But the point is you got to activate your immune system. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Drew about this. There's a window, and it closes pretty quick of being born, where you got to get all that stuff in early. Right. Otherwise, so all the moms slathering the Purell and keeping everything, they don't let people hold their baby, or they keep them away, or they cover everything. Big picture, not doing your kid any favors.
That makes perfect sense, but I've never had a newborn. So let me see if you have the answer to this. Why is it that it's common knowledge? Like you said, you can't come see the baby yet because... Or you have to wear a mask. Why? Because it has no immune system. Like, you're a crazy person for asking. So which is it?
Ask Olga.
We do the opposite of everything that makes sense. We fill in the skate parks when kids need exercise and vitamin D and sunshine. And we don't expose our newborns to the world when they need it the most. Then we do the opposite.
Right. Okay.
We have the Dirty Harry clip.
Here it is.
Now, he witnessed a shootout from like a coffee shop or something.
Right.
Or a bank robbery or something.
He's got his 357 Magnum.
Guy's lying bleeding on the sidewalk. Gun within reach.
Shotgun.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But Ian, this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Damn, quivers.
Is that Richard Roundtree?
Hey. I got to know.
I know he's mad.
Can you imagine? Imagine doing that scene today. Black guy laying on the ground.
I got to know.
Black guy's pulling the trigger at him.
Oh, my God.
Different time.
All right, Brian, you got your holiday recap?
Yeah.
Which we haven't talked about yet.
You guys got the pictures and the video and everything? No, they didn't quite yet, but just have it ready. Tessa is in the sweet spot for Christmas. How old is the little one?
6.
So Tessa's 5, so you know how it is.
Yeah.
You were there last
big
year.
Deal.
The 5 years old is the sweet spot. She wanted, you know, she got a bike. She got all the Inside Out, the Pixar movie, all the stuffies, you know, all the emotions and everything. She can play with them, leaving notes for Santa, mailing letters to Santa, leaving throwing out carrots and celery for the reindeer. You know, the whole nine mm-hmm. yards. So Christmas is awesome, blah, blah, blah. Then we did the annual trip to the ranch in Solvang.
The Alisal Ranch.
It's a working cattle ranch. It's a full-on, huge, gigantic cattle ranch that has like a little resort element to it that people go and do horseback riding and archery and mm-hmm. all the lake activities, et cetera, et cetera. Tessa last year did – no, we skipped last year. They were closed for COVID. Mm-hmm. So the year before – She wanted to do horseback riding, but she was 3 years old. And so they only do the lead around, right? Put the kid on mm-hmm. and the guy
walking around.
It's mm-hmm. pretty tame. This year, she did the horse riding by herself. No hands on that horse except for her. Put the
gone with the wind.
I know.
Look at that.
The other picture zooms in a little more. Maybe mm-hmm. you can see that just the determined look on her face.
Like, and screaming and crying.
No. She was really into it.
That's awesome.
Like she was, look at that. Turning the horse, you know. Pulling. I don't ride a horse, so I don't know. But yeah, she was all about it. It rained. It rained a ton. For the first time, there's a creek that runs through the thing. Never seen a drop of water in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a raging river. Put the other picture up. Christy's dad's a world-class photographer. The guy's great. He took this picture Tessa and Grandma on the bridge looking at this raging river.
He's a world-class tool shop owner.
That's true. Actually,
and he does some photography. But I know him as a tool man.
Palm Nailer Don.
Palm Nailer. Visited his shop and
you should go back sometime. You should bring a slide headshot.
89. I remember exactly what I remember the exact job I was working on when I went to his shop.
I wish I could tell you the biggest celebrity, but you know who goes there often, regularly? Harrison Ford.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, all the time.
That hack.
he got.
You know, a fucking palm nailer from an impact driver.
I remember he was a carpenter on the set before he got discovered.
Yeah, I'd like to interview him.
Like you.
Do to him what I did to Ty Pennington. Go ahead.
Now get the video ready. I'm going to set it up here. Remember yesterday we watched the video of the teacher sinking mm-hmm. the full court shot, mm-hmm. and he made the observation that the kids make it because the kids can't fake it. If it's number 25, yeah. they're mm-hmm. not going to fake it. The, mm-hmm. Get the reaction of the kid. Mm-hmm. Tessa, there's a little jungle gym mm-hmm. in this place, a little sand jungle gym, and Tessa was doing the monkey bars for the first time, as far as I could tell, at least, this many. And she kept getting it. There's nine total. And mm-hmm. she kept getting up to six and then falling. Mm-hmm. Trying again, get up to six mm-hmm. and fall. And she goes, Daddy, I'm going to do all nine. I'm like, I don't know. Tessa's pretty hard. And it's hard.
Discouraging her.
No, I was pumping her up. I'm like, I think only big girls can do that. She goes, I can do it. And so she gets up there and I start the video because I could tell like her momentum was going.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched this video now probably 10 or 12 times. It makes me so happy. And the bouncing you'll see at the end for those watching the video is us jumping up and down like we won the World Cup. But let's just play the video. That's number three. That's number four.
It's an American Gladiator shit.
Again, though, yeah. Can you? Six again!
Beastmaster.
No, you can't get to seven. Seven! No, not eight. Not eight. No. There's one more. Oh my God! You're dead! You did all of them! You're amazing! Oh my God. How many did you do?
Nine!
I'm so proud of you. High five. Wait, high five. Oh my gosh, she was so impressed with herself. So happy.
And she should be.
What happened with parents? where was any of our parents? I don't get it. You have kids. You do shit with them. It's fun.
You had to run home to tell them you had done nine.
You get like a high five.
Yeah.
Wash your hands.
Yeah, don't sit. That's my ottoman. What are you doing?
You're all dirty from the park.
Well, yeah, but don't, what are you doing next to it? Come on, get out of here. Like, what? And it's so easy when you have kids. You want to do stuff.
Encourage.
You want to joke around. Yep. You want
to
do all
celebrate
that.
Celebrate these little, to you a little
celebrate.
Things.
Celebrate.
I'm the biggest thing in the world.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So the holiday was great. The highlights were Tessa horse riding solo and the jungle gym monkey bars. And I'm glad to say she has a lot of Christy in her.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, she ain't going to be down with that dishwasher.
No.
All right, let's see. I got...
We have resolutions.
We have resolutions. All right. We'll keep the. We'll roll that into the beginning of the next segment. I think I'll do LifeLock. Scareware is a scam where pop-up ads scare users into thinking their computer has a security problem. And the fix is to buy their software. Then they access and steal your info. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cybercriminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code ADAM for 25% off.
All right, quick break. We'll come back with New Year's resolutions and Rotten Tomatoes and a follow-up on the goalpost history right after this.